today on Real Radio.
Whenever you step out and let him interrupt your life, respond to his interruption. Watch what happens. It's a setup. It's a setup by God. He'll do it.
On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 3, continues a series called Who Told You? You know, a lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and past experiences. But how do these beliefs stack up to Scripture? This series will help us discern the voices and opinions of our day from the truth of God's Word. In part one of this lesson, we learned that God's grace reveals His very nature and character. We also learned that God's grace is sovereign, meaning that He knows in advance those who will receive His gospel of grace, so that eternal life with Him is possible. In part two of this lesson, we discovered the importance of His grace because without grace, there is no way to redeem us from our sins or reconcile us back to God. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that grace is also experienced by divine interruptions. This happens when the living God invades our lives. Even moments, thoughts, motives, sights, and sounds can be ordained by Him. And now, continuing in his lesson called Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You would agree with me as a believer, the Holy Spirit is inside of you crying out, know Jesus more. We'd all sign up for that. I want to know Him the most. Okay. Then you're going to learn and discover the power of His resurrection. That sounds good. Yeah. I want that kind of power. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Say what? See, it's the fellowship of His sufferings that conforms me into the image of absolute freedom. And if any of you are suffering, take heart. If you're not, you shall suffer soon. We all will. You're going to want to drop that verse. And you're going to want to lean on that verse. Paul the Apostle did that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, 2 Corinthians 12, 8, Paul the Apostle, remember, he was very sick. He had a very, very distracting ailment, and he was troubled by it. In fact, Paul said in Corinthians that it was a messenger from Satan to buffet his body. So Paul is under some sort of attack that is manifesting in his life, sickness. Now look what Paul says. He's asked God to remove it. 2 Corinthians 12:8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times. I find that interesting because anybody remember how many times Jesus pleaded in the garden for the Father to relieve the cross from him? How many times? Three times. And he says that it might depart from me. Verse 9, and he, that is the Lord, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul's response to that is this, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities. Listen to the joy and the power of this church. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Christian, God's grace is so abounding that in difficulty, His grace is manifested in your suffering to the extent that when it's all over, you learn this lesson. I wouldn't change a thing. Listen to us as Christians. We go through some of the worst things the world has ever seen. We go through the same stuff that the world experiences. They lose their minds. They have nowhere to go. They start drinking. They jump off of buildings. They have no hope. And our hearts break for them. When we go through what we're going through, God has promised to walk with us through it. And there is no way to know Him the deeper unless you have Him. I want to say it clearly. Unless you have Him hold your hand. I've given up on trying to hold His hand. I can't do it anymore. I don't hold His hand. He holds me. Listen, you ask a Christian, how you doing? Hanging in there? Stop hanging. Stop hanging. Let Him hold you. He'll do it. He will do it. I'm so tired. Okay, then you know what? Quit. Just quit. Just fall into the everlasting arms of God. He's remarkable. And Paul said, that's it. I would rather now embrace this illness because the power of God upon me is effective. That's by the grace of God. It's impossible for us as humans to do that on our own. It's remarkable. The second thing is this, you guys, is that how is grace experienced? Not only by this work of God that we see, this active revelation where God speaks his word to us and we respond in a day-to-day basis, but by divine interruptions. I wish we could spend almost forever on this one, divine interruptions. You know, they're all the time. We talk often about, you know, that's a divine appointment. Now, listen, also divine interruptions from our perspective. Divine interruptions. She said, what do you mean? Do you guys, was it last week? I think it was last week. I had mentioned in one of the services or all of the services that we need to be bold. We need to be radical because the Lord has gone before us and there are those divine appointments. And we need to be a little reckless living for Jesus. We're reckless living for everything else. Why don't we be more accurate and be reckless living for Jesus? And I mentioned if your Christianity is boring, then you're doing it wrong. Because it should be crazy radical. It should be crazy dynamic as we live for him. So having said that, what's kind of fun about divine interruptions is it's God's desire to interrupt your life. And I used to think when I was a younger Christian that there were these divine interruptions from time to time. Then as I get a little older, I realize they seem to be more frequent. And now that I'm older still, I've come to this conclusion, and you're going to think I'm exaggerating, and I am not. I have concluded this, that if he was active in these things with divine interruptions in the past, they seem to be more frequent, then isn't, in a sense, God so present that the Bible says that the steps of a righteous man, which I'm not by myself, but and you're not by yourself, but how are we righteous? By the declaration of God through Christ at the cross, we're declared. He says if the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Is that true? Amen. Think it's true for you and I. God says it. I'm not going to argue with him. I'm going to go with it. Okay? That's what he says. Well, then, does that not mean that God reserves the right to interrupt me at any given moment, at any given time? Could it be that God can even, if God can interrupt my breath or my heartbeat right now, then doesn't that reserve the right by God to do anything he wants at any time? Yeah. I believe that. And if I believe that, then everything that is going on in my life, you check your watch right now, you check your calendar, what's going on in your life? I need to back up and realize, God, where are you in this situation? Because you are in it. I need to see you in this, Lord. I know you're here. I mean this with all affection. Lord, I can smell you. I can feel your nearness. What's up, Jesus? Let me see this. What's happening here? What's going on? And so I asked you to be reckless and bold. This last week, it was Tuesday, we were my family, we were down at PCH, down by Dana Point, and we were goofing off. And I wasn't thinking about, you know, next Sunday's message and looking for illustrations. I challenge you to go out and be bold. And so we got thirsty and Lisa wanted a coffee and other family members wanted a whatever and I wanted some green tea. And there's a particular place that makes really good green tea. So we pulled into Satan's lair. It's got this green icon logo with some siren there. She's looking like she's going to eat you alive. And so I'm in the truck and I see a family in the parking lot. Something's going on. And they get out of the car and they're standing around the car and then a young man gets out of the back seat of the car and he starts putting on his coat. He's buttoned it up and there's a little brother hanging on his leg and there's a little sister on the other side and there's a mom and a dad. And this is not just a boy putting on his coat. This was a young man, this was a Marine putting on his jacket. And I saw that, and this is the way I was raised, to thank them. Wherever I'm at in the world, if I see somebody in military garb, I go straight to them. And if I can, I'll buy them dinner, coffee, something. My dad taught me that. And I saw that, and I just, without even thinking, I got out of my truck and I walked up there and I said, Marine, thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your service. Thank you for keeping America free. And the nation is grateful for you. And I just wanted to tell you that. And I got back in the car and I said, and this is just totally normal for me. And then as I was watching, I was just watching them. And the tears are now flowing. Another Marine pulls up and he's going to get in the car. And I remembered what I told you last week. I got out of my truck again and I walked up there and I said, excuse me, wait, time out. Whoa, wait. I said, let's pray right now. We need to pray. And I treated them like believers. I just thought, God, you just pick and choose whatever you're doing here, but I'm gonna act like they're Christians. And I just said, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're just asking you right now, Father God, we just ask you to fill this young man with your Holy Spirit, watch over him, bring him back, mission accomplished, keep him safe. May he have the courage of George Washington as he goes into battle. God, give him a hands, give him skill of David. I'm just praying, and I'm thinking, I'll never see them again, so just load it up. And so in Jesus' name, amen. And the dad goes, are you a minister? And I said, yeah. And he goes, we serve at our church too, and we love the Lord, and we just gave him Jeremiah 29:11. And I walked back to my truck, and it was like, there you go again, God. Whenever you step out and let him interrupt your life, respond to his interruption. Watch what happens. It's a setup. It's a setup by God. He'll do it. And I had no idea I wasn't doing it. Wait, everybody, I'm going to go do this because I said it last week and mess in the sermon. No, that caught me later. I was reminded. Think about the interruptions that have happened in the Bible, which you're grateful for. I'll give you a name. I'll give you a few names. Job. When your life seems to be falling apart, isn't it interesting? You go to a man's life who had been interrupted by God. Job. A man who, how can this happen but God? A man who had everything. Didn't the Bible say that there was nobody in the earth like Job? Doesn't it say that he loved God? And his whole world fell in on him. Not once did he curse God. Not once did he say, why me? And at the end of the book, the Bible says, and for Job, it turned out better in the end than it was in the beginning. I submit to you that can only happen through the God of the Bible, through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen any other way. No way. All the stuff that you're experiencing in life right now, if you're not a Christian, listen to God, would you? He's trying to get your attention. He may not be causing them, but he'll use them, those situations. But there are divine interruptions that take place for our learning. How about this? Did God interrupt Noah's life? Did God interrupt Abram's life, later to become Abraham? God interrupted. Did God interrupt Moses' life? And one of my favorites is Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. God interrupted his life. How about this? This one's kind of sweet. We never talk about it much. Did Mary receive an interruption from God? How'd that turn out for her? When Matthew was sitting at the toll gate for the Roman Empire and Jesus walked by and interrupted his life, how'd that turn out for Matthew? I thank God that on June 20th, 1977, he interrupted me. When did God interrupt you? And not only did he interrupt our lives to get us to put our love and our faith and our trust in him, to follow him when he made that invitation to us, but as a Christian now, I believe that he's interrupting our lives all the time with a good and an awesome plan. So much so in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, this is what God says. And when I give you these verses, I just hope that they just cause you to just relax, just to rest in this. Jeremiah 1, 4, and 5. Get a load of this. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Jeremiah was just a young man. He was a mid to late teenager. When God spoke to him, look what God said to him. Before I formed you. This is an interruption, right? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Wow. before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. What would you do with that kind of interruption? I'll tell you what Jeremiah did. He said, you got the wrong guy. Did you know that? He said, I'm just a youth. I don't even know how to speak. And God says, don't tell me that. I also made your tongue. What are you going to do with that? The maker of your tongue said, I got it from here. You just open it and I'll make it work. Jeremiah, on and on the story goes. It's remarkable. But from eternity, God knew. I almost feel like shouting for all of us and let it echo back into my own ears. Let God be God. Let him run the show. Let him lead and guide. I mentioned to you what God has been doing behind the scenes, and soon it will be public when you see things happening. But that's just one little thing. There's so much that God does. And I tell you what, we ought to set up like a GoPro or something in our board meetings, because half the time our board meetings are like this. Can you believe God did that? Well, how did that happen? I don't know. God did that. Where did this come from? God did it. I don't know. If you're some sort of boardroom, big wheeling executive, you would not like it. But if you are just in awe of God and you realize he is in control of his church and people, you just sit there and go, God, you're amazing. Just keep us from messing things up. He's awesome. Let him be God. And you'll experience his grace abounding like you've never imagined before in your life. He wants to do that. The Bible tells us in John chapter 13, verse 7. I love this. A life lesson. Peter's there. Jesus said to Peter, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. And I love that verse applied to all of our lives. How many times God could say, Jack, you don't realize what I'm doing right now. Would you agree with me, somebody, that God is doing something and you don't know what he's doing? And isn't it amazing? So, you know, I read a book and this is how it says it ought to go. Forget the book. Well, I did this small group study, and there's an outline, and God's got to move this way. Listen, the truth of the matter is, God says to us, like he just said to Peter, you don't realize what I'm doing right now. Later you will understand. And this is hard for us. I need to know. I met with somebody this week and they said, well, this is the way it is right now and this is what's going on and these doors have opened up in the past and I've got the green light to go this way, but I don't know how that's going to happen. I'd like to know how it's going to go for the next 3 or 4 years. And I just said, you're not going to know that. God will not tell you that. Christian, cheer up. Listen, you say, I'm going to follow the Lord. If he just gives me a plan, I'll follow him. Just lay it out there, God, now go. You know what you're going to do? You're going to do what a lot of Christians do, and it's very tragic. A lot of Christians stand around for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years waiting for God to part the heavens, to show them the whole plan for their ministry life as a believer from A to Z, and they're waiting for that to happen, and it will never happen. God will say to you and I, and he'll always do it this way, Jack, I want you to do this. And I'm learning. I wish I could say I learned. I'm learning to not ask anymore, why? Just do it. Don't ask why. You'll stand around waiting forever. How come that's not getting done? Why isn't this? I mean, I thought about this years ago, and how come it's not happening? Because you're the one that was supposed to do it. Several years ago, I don't know why it was over here for some reason, this man came to me and he said, those windows over there are all smudged up and dirty. I didn't notice. And I said, wow, we'll have to check that out, okay? But praise the Lord, man. That's amazing. What's your name? I'll make it up, Fred. Praise the Lord, Fred. That God showed you that. Well, what do you mean? I said, well, I didn't notice it, and I'm kind of particular like that, but you saw it, and that's awesome. Go for it. And he said, I'm not quite sure I understand what you're talking about. I said, oh, I'm sorry. You saw the smudges all over the window. You're the only one that brought it up. Praise the Lord for you. That means God wants you to clean those windows. That's why you saw it. This is Christianity. Well, why is the parking lot so small? We need you to work with us and use other companies' parking lots around here. Or whatever the situation might be. Well, how come this and what? You're the only one who noticed it. Praise the Lord, you're right. God has just called you to do that. Have you noticed that? See, listen, in our humanity, we insert into our Christianity, which means what? I think I'm just going to complain about this for a while. I'm going to go to Yelp and put a thumbs down or a boo-boo mark or whatever the thing is. No, listen, join the club. Let's get in this and make it better. Let's fix it. It's ministry. There's no such thing as spectator Christianity. It's impossible. We're Christians. And when God shows us stuff, the blessing is right in front of us. It's hanging right there like a carrot. And he wants to bless us, and he's given us an opportunity. And so many times we waste 10, 20, 30 years talking about what ought to be done in the church, and God wanted us to do it. Isn't that a shame? He wants to do so much. Right now you don't understand, but Jesus told him, later you'll understand. And then finally, in my opinion, I love this. Thirdly, finally, it's this. How is the grace of God experienced but by supernatural applications that God puts us in life? You may say, well, I'm hearing about this grace of God at work. It's an active grace and all these things that you're talking about, but what does it really mean in my life personally? How does this work tomorrow when I get up Monday morning? Well, just be encouraged. It means this, that at God's discretion for his purposes regarding all those who are his, God has a supernatural crafted application for you and I as believers to go share the grace of God. We need to be very wise and be very biblically accurate about it, but by all means, share it.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 3. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you allow God's grace to invade your life so that you can trust him through all of life's experiences. Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's goodness and grace, as well as his plan for our lives. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Let me give you a tab that's going to really help you if you're interested in leading other people to the Lord. It's a tab called Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. And it's right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, we've all been there at some point. You're really strong in your faith. You know what you know. You know what's going on in your life and in your heart. But sometimes you may be a struggle to share it with other folks. Well, I'll tell you what. Go to the Know God tab. That's K-N-O-W, God, at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Pastor Jack's got a great video there that's going to help you approach non-believers in your life. You can learn from this video yourself or send it to an unbelieving friend. It's the Know God tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, did you know that if you miss any episode of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, it's real easy to catch up. We've got you taken care of. There are so many ways to catch up. You can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet, or you can visit Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. Just put Pastor Jack Hibbs in a YouTube search. How would you like to get more of Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs? Well, you can do that at YouTube. Just go to youtube.com and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Watch some messages you might have missed. There are weekly messages from Pastor Jack, real life programs, some special messages on events that are coming up. There's even an interesting intro to Christianity right there at YouTube. Go to YouTube and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Really, anything that Pastor Jack wants to share with us is available for you right there at YouTube. So don't forget, set your notifications up to know when Pastor Jack has put something new on YouTube. Over 500 videos on YouTube, lots of content. So go to YouTube and visit with us. Just look for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.